right, rolling along on a beautiful and perfect Friday afternoon here on the Press Box. I'm Clay Baker with the Review Journal's Ed Graney. And each and every other week, we work with some of the big sports surgeons, the orthopedic surgeons, the experts here in Southern Nevada from Crivetti Ortho, CrivettiOrtho.com. And Dr. Caleb Pinneker is here with us, as well as Dr. Mike Crivetti. And we appreciate you coming in once again. How are you two?
Doing fantastic. Yeah? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Clay, thanks for having my new superstar, Dr. Pinneker, in. Talk about some of these injuries.
Well, he is kind of a superstar because Dr. Pinneker spent a year with Dr. James Andrews in Florida working in this, and we wanted to have you on because we really appreciate that you're fans of the show, but we need more expert opinion about the injuries that kind of like make the difference in all the games that we follow. And we can start off with, we're going to find out pretty soon whether Aaron Rodgers is going to be linked to start on Sunday. We talked a little bit last time, Dr. Pinneker, about, you know, you got the clavicle injury, you got the two plates and the 13 screws. We're just starting to wonder about compressions after tackling. And could it be beneficial to maybe just hold him out for another 8 more months or whatever? What does it take? And does the bone actually fuse stronger if you wait a little bit longer, or is this the best it's going to get?
Well, at about this time, this far out from his injury and this far out from the surgery itself, the bone is healing, and the plate and screws act to further protect that while it heals.
Okay.
So in all truth, I mean, at 8 weeks out, this thing's getting strong. And so the likelihood of a new injury going through his old fracture is a lot less likely than if he, I mean, now you have the stability of the plate, and we had talked previously about the potential of this thing breaking on either side of where right. he has all of this hardware. So he's 8 weeks out, he's been cleared, and that healing that's already gone on up to this point really should be pretty stout.
Yeah, because everyone was telling us, they're calling in this week saying, well, keep him out 2 weeks, 2 more weeks. So I wanted to ask you that. Okay. So one is, when it's completely healed, are you more susceptible for that to break? But if it is healed in 8, it sounds to me what you're saying is, what's the point of holding him out for 11? I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, right? And would he have to take a direct hit again? I mean, it happened to Romo, which very ironic. I mean, Romo kind of went through this, and that's what the caller said. Well, Romo went through this, and if they held him out. But I'm like, well, if the doctors clear him and he's okay, what's 11 weeks compared to 8 if the bone is healed? But so people disagreed with that, said, no, he should wait longer. I'm like, what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm. Well, the healing isn't over.
Okay,
so say he's 100%, yes. This is going to heal over. No, he's not 100%, but is he strong enough to take a hit, strong enough to be throwing, run around the pocket, be performing every maneuver he needs to? It's healed enough to the point where it should be safe, barring a tackle on that arm. But it's not 100% by any means.
What's the downside of what kind of injury this could cause? Like if he gets another, you know, because he's in Carolina against the Panthers, and they've been very fearsome. I'm expecting a lot of activity. And what would you start looking for? Is like we need to get him out there now because he's starting to feel the pain. Is the pain going to come from throwing or from getting tackled?
The collarbone itself isn't doing as much work with the throwing mechanism. I think the big trick is his psyche with being hit. And his ability to not have pain with contact.
Okay.
Dr. Pinneker, last week, I was watching the Rams-Eagles game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I saw Wentz, and in typical ACL, although he gets hit in the end zone, typical ACL fashion, like they get him in the tent, and then he's walking off, and all of a sudden he's got a blown out ACL. So these ACLs are crazy because you never really understand that when it happened. It's like, when did that happen? There were two screams. One, my buddy Kevin Petty, who was in the stands, Philadelphia Eagle nutcase. And I think the second loudest scream I heard was from Dr. Mike Crivetti, who we learned today is also an Eagles fan, is not happy with what happened. I'm sure you were watching when he's walking off, seeing the play before in the end zone where they kind of double teamed him at the knee. Did you in your mind say he's blown the ACL?
No, actually not. I mean, you remember when McNabb did his?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's going off the sideline.
But he was nothing.
Takes a misstep, and next thing you know, he's got an ACL injury.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking, you got to be kidding. And then, of course, he walks over to the training table and gets an ACL diagnosis. Well, when you tear your ACL, a lot of these guys get up. We take care of the high schools, colleges. These kids, they get up and they walk off, and they say, my knee feels wobbly.
Not hurt, hurt, not pain.
It feels wobbly.
Okay.
Right? It just doesn't feel like it's underneath me. So when he's walking over, he gets up. Plus, he's a tough kid, right? I mean,
right.
He's Dakota kid. I mean, he's
tougher
than nails, right? So he comes down. He's probably going back in the game. They let him play. But, you know, checking him. But, no, sometimes you just never know when these things come. It's amazing.
And there's not pain.
There's this pop, right? It's a pop, and then but the pain comes from all the swelling that ensues. And like when he got off of that field, he got a shower, he got out, that pain came in.
Okay,
his knee blew up, his pain came in. They iced him down and did the best they could to control that swelling, which is what really gives that discomfort.
So, as the Eagles fan, when can you expect him completely? Is this a normal ACL where in 6 months you would expect him to be doing football activities?
Well, 6 months is that number. That's kind of the magic number. Yeah, we put him in a custom ACL brace. We stick him out there 6 months. But, you know, that's our athletes, right? I mean, this guy starts training like a madman at about 2 weeks after the operation. He's riding a bike. He's training. He's leg pressed at 6 weeks. It's pretty intense. I mean, he's going to work his butt off. You can see his quads. When he comes back, he's going to be an animal. It's going to be awesome.
One of Southern Nevada's noted orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Mike Crovetti here, as well as Dr. Caleb Pinneger. You can follow them online at CrovettiOrtho.com. And we were going into the Steelers' Ryan Shazier injury, which we saw a couple Monday nights ago. We know you guys don't do really spinal injuries as well, or spinal surgeries, rather. What did you make of this? Because that was a very scary scene, and it took the team and the doctors a long time to even allow players to come and see him. It seems like whether or not he may play football again, but we'll even have like a normal life again.
And watching the replay of the injury, I mean, we have rules about NFL tackles and encouragement on how to tackle. You see him lower his head.
Oh, yeah.
A large compressive force that goes from the crown of the head all the way down the spine. So, horrible injury. You see him on the replay. He reaches to his lower back. He's not got a lot of motion in his legs.
God, that was nasty.
And they're, of course, not releasing a lot of detail of what surgery did he have? What is he currently able to do? You get hints. You see a couple comments from some of his from his colleagues and his players talking with him that say, I just want to see him walk again. So you worry how severe that injury is, but with no detail. But absolutely, horrible injury to watch. Their primary concern on the field, don't worsen the injury. You lay him flat. They bring in the spine board. You're very careful how you transport him. The last thing you want to do is take an unstable injury and potentially create worse problems. So they're being very careful.
Is the cliche you hear your whole life true in that last resort back surgery? Is that true? Do everything you can, rehab, whatever, before you would go to the surgery, or does it depend on the surgery? I'm not talking about a surgery like he had. Obviously, they had to do something with him. Yeah. Just the average person with either a disc or back issues, you always hear that, well, don't let them operate on you. I mean, you always hear that, and it's like, do everything you can before that, because once you go to that point, recovery and all that is longer. Is that a cliche? Is that kind of a myth? Or is there some truth to it, depending on what you're talking about?
There's two reasons people have back surgery. One is back pain, right? Right? Makes sense. Got back pain, get back surgery. Second is what we call radiculopathy. This is when a nerve is getting pinched, going down your leg.
Yeah.
I just went through this with my pop, and he ended up having surgery because he just had this killer nerve pain down his leg. Nerve pain's gone. Right.
So when somebody, surgery.
After the surgery, right? So when patients have that nerve pain, just shooting that electricity down their foot, start to have some weakness, that's great back surgery.
Okay.
Stabilize it, take care of that nerve, get the pressure off of it. And it's almost sometimes in the recovery room, you see, wow.
Right away.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Like, look at that foot, my tingling, my burning is gone. Where the challenge comes in is back pain, right? Oh, you're right. We always wait till the end.
Okay.
Wait till the last possible resort, because sometimes injection therapy, physical therapy,
anti-inflammatory,
you got it.
Okay.
I mean, it can really turn the corner for somebody with back pain.
Go online, CrovettiOrtho.com. You can follow the great work that they do here at Crovetti Orthopedic Surgeons, Dr. Caleb Pinneger and Dr. Mike Crovetti. We go to the NBA. One of our favorite players is Kawhi Leonard, and he's been sidelined with a strained quad muscle, where we have not been able to really ascertain how severe this is, but they have been very careful on not releasing and allowing him to play very well, and they've not released a lot of information at all about this injury, and we follow him very closely.
We strain our quads getting up. But we're not Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is this finely tuned, incredible athletic body, physical presence in the NBA. And this is silly of me to say, obviously, because he's that player. But he's one of my favorite players. I'm like, why? It's a strained quad. And you hear that, and you're like, and I know he jumps. He has to do things different than what he and I are doing. But he was out a long time. What could an athlete like that? What could it be doing to him that would have kept him out? He's back now that long.
I think a lot of this also has to do with the Spurs organization being pretty careful. They've had they have another one of his teammates, Parker, who's been who had a different injury, but the quad tendon is a strong tendon, and it doesn't typically tear. But if it's going to tear, it's going to be in a person who has some pain and chronic problems with it over time. So if you really want to keep that person from tearing it, you got to nip it in the bud early so that you don't put him at risk to end up requiring surgery.
What's the, if he did? I don't think he did surgery. So is it pretty much rest?
Yeah, with Leonard, it's rest rehab. He's doing a lot of what we call eccentric exercises. I'm sure they're focusing on stretching that quad tendon, getting the pain calmed down, improving his musculature balance, both of the quads and the hamstrings, trying to keep the leg strong and be pain free, so that he's not in a game situation, kind of limping on it a little bit, comes down off of a giant leap compared to anything I can do, of course.
Can that affect the Achilles? These guys pop Achilles all the time because of their jumping ability. If he's weak anywhere down there, or is the Achilles going to go just because it's the Achilles and he does that?
Yeah, so most of these guys that get their Achilles, they're just at that age group, actually.
So he's pretty young.
Thing, you know, a late 20s, early 30s. There's the blood supply that goes to the Achilles. It just has a certain weakness at that age.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily related to his quad or any type of tendon or injury. It's the big guy upstairs.
It's like Kobe when he did his. Yep. He's in his 30s and, it just goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's becoming a scandal in Major League Baseball about a Japanese pitcher named Shohei Ohtani. We know you've heard about him. And the Angels decided to dump a bunch of money this way. They have just found out that he has UCL damage. And they decided that in October, the medics in Japan to give him the platelet-rich injection. Talk about that as opposed to maybe needing surgery, and what kind of injury does he really have?
So there's several grades for an ulnar collateral ligament injury. If you these pitchers, if we MRI their elbows, lots of them have got an abnormal looking AC or not, UCL,
really?
His ulnar collateral ligament, and the variation of a strain versus a partial tear versus a full tear is that depicts what we do for treatment. So coming up into this, he has now the PRP injection. They're reporting it as a mild strain to the UCL. And what we do is that PRP injection, we inject these cells into the area where it's torn. We're trying to promote healing potential cells to come to the area and heal the ligament where there's this strain. And, it's hard to know if he's bordering into a partial tear. But what that does is allows him to then take some time off, rest, get into a return to throw program and try to see if he can come back just as strong. The hope is that with a low level injury, that the PRP injection does the trick, we get him back and he's 100%.
Dr. Corvetti, you were also saying it's more, they inject it and it's more, I'm going to say it poorly here, telling the cells or whatever, we're hurt, you need to come help now, and that's how it works.
These platelets that you have in your body are magic little guys that have a growth factor, and they send out this signal. And they're not really, there's not new ligament cells. They're calling all the healing factors, calling all these guys. There's these big cells called macrophages, big eaters. And they also give off a factor, and they call all these cells in, let's go heal this thing. And that's why they get on top of the rest, on top of the rehab, and that's why they get back to 100%.
And you were saying, Dr. Pendergast, you worked with James Andrews, who kind of is the godfather of Tommy John. I mean, he was such a Tommy John innovator. But this saves them. This can save them a year. You don't want to do Tommy John, kind of like the back pain, the last resort. Okay, if you have to do it, you have to do it. This is almost a year, then, perhaps, off a timetable?
The recovery from a UCL injury, if you have to do a Tommy John, that's a solid year or more.
Wow.
And so if he gets this injection, if he's 4 to 6 weeks out of throwing and then gets on an accelerated throwing program, we can have him back in a few months. If he has pain, if they start getting him throwing and if it's not working, you can expect him to be getting that thing reconstructed.
And he's listed as a pitcher or an outfielder. He can hit. The Angels need him to pitch, though. So you would err on the side of caution. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, you always do with these guys. I mean, if it's sore and if he's in his return to throw program and if it hurts, you slow him down and try to bring him back slower. Because if you try to push him, he will not get better. And any time you talk about a position player can also pitch, those guys especially, we're careful with them because pitching is such a high demand on that elbow.
Talk about a place where surgery is the last option, right?
That's the last one.
Yeah, in the absence of a complete tear, right? The surgery is the last option. So you rest him 6 weeks, you get him back, a return to throw program. We got to back off him again. Okay, let's give him let's give him 2 months now before we commit him to that year of Tommy John.
How much, sitting here today in 2017, because we hear this happens once or twice a week, it seems like, sadly, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ago, and going forward, does the basic ACL surgery have changed?
Well, what a great question. That surgery...
Because it happens so often, it's now in 2017. I guess if it happened in 2007, it would be worse than it is now. And maybe in 2027, it's even like, oh, you know, 6 months became three. But how much has it changed in your experience when you did it then and now when you do it?
So coming up on 20 years of doing this.
Wow, you've done this procedure 20 years?
Yeah,
so 20 years ago to now, how much have you learned? How much has transformed?
You're not going to believe this.
Nothing?
But we're doing it just about the same way.
Really?
Because the graft that we're using, the graft that Carson Wentz got, that Nab got, that Jerry Rice got,
Everyone. We're
still using that graft where we use the patient's kneecap, tendon, a little bit of their shin bone. We're still using it. One of the cool things we do, though, with composites and some of these bone grafts that we use, we put screws in now to hold this thing in, and it bites insane, like a great screw, right? Put in there tight, it becomes part of them. So it's a bone composite.
Forever.
Yeah, so it's there.
Okay.
So you look at their knee 10, 15 years down the road, their bone looks awesome. You know, they're back to a normal knee. So that's the most important thing. Can you believe that? It's been around 30 or 40 years. And in 20 years, we keep going back to this.
Has the recovery time changed?
You know, that's a cellular thing. This 6 months is a cellular thing. Back in my training, we did a study. We looked at when these tendons become ligaments, right?
Okay.
And you'd be surprised when you take it from somebody, when you take it from themselves, that's about the time period it becomes strong enough to play. 6 months. So that's not our time. That's God's time.
That's God's time.
That's God's time.
That's amazing. 30 years ago, I think people thought they sprained their knees.
And you should see some of these new braces we have. We work with a company called DonJoy.
And
they got this new A22 ACL brace. It's sick. It's just, it looks like a glove these kids wear and go play in at 6 months. That, you know, gives them something for their psyche, but also physically supports their ACL for another 12 months.
And I was talking to Dr. Penninger the last time he was here. These types of surgeries now, and maybe it was the same 20 years ago, but you were talking about Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, let's go through his surgery. The date, I think he actually got it this week.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly when he woke up and opened his eyes, how quickly was he moving that leg? Was it already in the motion sensor? Were they already moving it?
Well, I think Caleb was telling me that Jim Bradley did it out of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know him, and he's probably moving it in recovery.
Right. I mean, that's how quickly now they. Yeah. Why, as a surgeon, why do you want that? Blood flow?
Yeah, you know, just the recovery. You know, some bad things that happen after surgery, right? Stiffness.
Right.
You know,
right.
Pain comes from stiffness. Pain comes from swelling. So the number one thing, let's get rid of the swelling, and let's get that thing moving. Our patients, we do ACL surgery, they're riding a bike in a week.
Wow.
You know, in 2 days, they're in PT, and they're already on a motion machine. So by the time we see them 4, 5, 6 weeks down the road, they can't figure out why they can't play.
Well, you know why they can't.
We know why they can't play. They can't figure out why they can't play.
Dr. Crivetti, Dr. Caleb Penninger, you can go online, CrivettiOrtho.com. We appreciate you joining us each and every week. Talk about what it's like for you, though, being out here in Southern Nevada as Christmas is approaching. Are you going to get a chance to go back, visit family, or is everyone out here now?
Well, we'll take a little trip probably, visit some family. I'm used to the snow, so I feel like in order to really understand that it is Christmas time, I should probably see snow somewhere. So I'm going to have to take a little trip, at least dip my toes in a little bit of the cold stuff. But
I'm going to have some
loving it. 57 degrees yesterday. I'll take it for
December.
Hey, you
go up to Mount Charleston. You get some guys up there falling for you.
I was going
to
say, we don't want them going anywhere. We'll make some snow for him.
I was going to say, you go up to Mount Charleston, you might have a few ACLs up there for you, so you never know.
Yep, go online, CrivettiOrtho.com. Dr. Mike Crivetti and Dr. Caleb Penninger here with us. We'll join them again in January 2018 when the holidays are over. We appreciate your time. It's always fascinating to have you guys in. Because
we become a lot smarter in this segment for some reason.
I know. I always feel like so much. We make this list as the weeks go on until you get here, and then we just feel like total bowls of jelly until we do.
Darkness makes us drunk, and the doctors make us smarter. We've got this thing down on this show.
Hey, let me tell you, as an old guy, still practicing like crazy, this guy makes me smarter every day.
Thank
so it's fantastic having him here in town.
Thank you both. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Dr. Caleb Penninger, Dr. Mike Crivetti, appreciate your time.
We talked English all day. Now is the time.